Hello, beautiful visionaries. It's Amy and Lissa here.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, my goodness. Here we are. It's the final module of Visionary Ignition Switch, Module 8, your jumpstart guide to get out of your own way and finally bring your vision to life. It's our final module.
This is.
Yeah. Yeah,
Ready.
good stuff, everybody.
Talking about some juicy stuff today, including just the really nitty-gritty, like how do we get started? You know, where do we go from here? Given that you've been given all of this information, and it can be quite overwhelming if you're not sort of staying grounded and centered in the whole thing. But it doesn't have to be that way. It can be really simple. It can just lead to one next step.
Yes, so we're going to do a bit of a review just to remind you of the ground that we've covered and just to remind you that you have the knowledge that you need. And before we do that, let's just go ahead and take a deep breath together, opening up to receive these last tidbits, these last golden nuggets, really, of knowledge and just an opportunity for you to get out of your own way and really make the commitment to living out your soul's assignment in this moment. That is why we have done this program. That is what inspired us, really, to create Visionary Ignition Switch, is to be of service to all of you that want to be of service to so many people. And so the ripple effect of all of this is really quite astonishing when you think about it.
Well, and we're all really in service to the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if every single one of us is here just making ourselves an offering to the divine so that each of us can participate in one of God's holy ideas in whatever way that looks for you, then we're really all just in service to Source, right? We're all in service to humanity and the planet and the plants and the animals and the cosmos, and we're just being used in order to align with the highest good, to bring into being that which is trying to become. And these are just tools, because sometimes humans need tools in order to, you know, be in spiritual service. So these are just some of the practical tools. But you know, I just want to remind everybody also that miracles can happen all the time without any of these tools. It's just that sometimes the miracles will ask you to use these tools to facilitate them. Like, to me, social media is such a miracle in the making.
Mm.
Like, literally right now, I am thinking about getting on Facebook and saying, look, I want to get the fear cure into the hands of really frightened people like women at domestic violence shelters, and I want to find a donor who's willing to fund this, because those women often have no money and they can't. The people who most need this book may not be able to afford it. And for all I know, there is somebody sitting there with $1 million and there's somebody else saying, help my nonprofit, and I can introduce the two of them, and then boom, the Fear Cure gets in the hands of 100,000 people who need it, and it all gets paid for by a donor, right?
Love it. Love it. I love that.
Right?
That's
it's so powerful.
Yeah.
I'll be able to use the tool to facilitate the miracle, right? Because I built the platform using these tools so that literally the spirit realm can just use the human realm easily. I swear that's part of the beauty of the internet.
Mm. Well, yeah, and when you think about the internet as this gorgeous web that has been spun so that we can connect to people that are halfway across the globe.
Right.
That is astonishing and a miracle in and of itself. I mean, just think about 20 years ago, this would have felt bizarre that we're on a webinar and people are accessing this. I mean, would have just felt completely bizarre to us that we could do what we're doing now. And so, yes, let's use the technology. Yet, let's use online programs and platinum programs and platform building and social media and all of these things so that we can bring our vision and our mission into the world, and you really have all of this at your fingertips. Really, you have the knowledge that you need. The how question, hopefully you have almost no how questions, like how do I build a platform? How do I write a book? We've answered a lot of those how questions. So let's do a bit of a review of what we covered in each of the modules, just to remind you of the knowledge that that's there at your fingertips anytime that you want it here in Visionary Ignition Switch.
And remember, it's right there when you need it, in that funnel, so you can always go back to it when you feel like, you know what, now is the time for me to take inspired action on my platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not this minute, maybe it's later, but anyway, well, all of those things are right there for when you're ready, so there's no need to feel overwhelmed at all, and you can always go back and re-review these modules when, you know, maybe 6 months from now you're going to be like, oh, now is the perfect time for me to start visioning my platinum program. And you can go back and listen to Module 7. So,
exactly. So in Module 1, we learned about platform building, from Twitter to opt-in boxes to the power of authenticity to blogging to Facebook. You've got new tools so that you can really go out there and create an amazing platform.
In Module 2, you learned all about becoming BFFs with your heroes and sheroes and the power of networking. And we talked about everything from being in service to how to make the big ask and get great affiliates and JV partners, how to create a kick-ass mastermind, and how to make money with your blog.
Yeah. And really, these first two modules, Module 1 and Module 2, as Lissa has said many times, she's so good at Module 1 and Module 2 that has really filled in all the rest of the modules.
That's right. Everything else has come as a result of my commitment and excitement and passion for everything we shared with you in Module 1 and Module 2. I love doing that. I love platform building, and I love networking. It's, like, so joyful for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, when I think about it, everything that good that has come to me from my business has been because of platform building and networking.
It's all about
tribes. Wouldn't be on the call if it weren't for networking.
Right. I love Seth Godin's book about tribes because it's really about creating community around a shared vision. Right? So it's not about how to get people to like your Facebook posts or retweet your tweets. It's not about how to, you know, rub elbows with famous people. Those are just ego, you know, little ego boosts. And it's fine. The ego boosts are fine. But it's really about connecting based on a shared holy idea and recognizing that these are the people that are part of your village. And anytime we're trying to do something big in the world, like, I mean, right now, literally, my vision started being around healing healthcare, and now it's growing much bigger than that. I mean, literally, we get emails all the time now saying, when are you going to start the Whole Health Medicine Institute for lawyers? When are you going to start the Whole Health Medicine Institute for corporate executives, you know, in the corporate world? When are you going to start the Whole Health Medicine Institute for teachers?
Mm.
And pretty much all of our institutions are disintegrating right now. Politics, medicine, education, corporate America, banking, you know, these institutions that are all based on the masculine principle are all falling apart. And the feminine is rising. And when I say the feminine, I'm not talking necessarily about females, because there are a lot of men that are in the villages rising up and holding the females, you know, and really being that divine masculine ground that many of the women that are helping to be part of this feminine rising, they're participating together. But all of these holy ideas that are out there are in service to saving the species, saving the planet, saving the rainforest. Like, literally, we're killing our planet. I mean, things like climate change. And I just got back from the Pachamama Alliance luncheon, which is all about, you know, the prophecy, the Incan prophecy of the eagle people and the condor people, and, you know, really combining indigenous wisdom with modern technology. That's the level that we're talking about here. That's whatever you're doing in your spiritual visionary business is ultimately in service to this greater mission that all of us who are part of this shift in consciousness right now are serving. Because when you heal another, when you uplift another, when you help others shift from this ego-based consciousness to this soul-driven life, then you participate in raising the consciousness of the planet. And when we become conscious enough, and 51%, because that's all you need in order to have, you know, voting rights, right, in order to run the company, all we need is 51% of people that are conscious enough to say, we are not drilling in the rainforest. We are not spending 7.5 minutes with our patients. We are not setting up the legal system so that whoever has the most money wins. This is about justice. Right? When we get to that place and there's enough people that have facilitated that shift in consciousness, and that's your job, then that will all start to fall into place. And that's how big your mission is. That's how necessary what you're here to do is. It is not just about filling your bank account and feeling good about your work. Those things are great. Those are perks. But that is the level that you are being called into service to support. And we are here to support you because we are all part of that village. And it does take a village. Nobody can do this alone. And that's why modules 1 and 2 are so important, because it's about activating that village.
Amen.
Sorry, I went off there.
Amen. I'm like sitting over here just nodding my head, You go, Lissa. You tell them, honey. Like, I love it. So inspiring and so important as we, you know, wrap up being with you for these last really 9 modules when you include the mindset module. So important to remember to tap back into that big why of why all of these tools matter, why it's important to know how to build a platform, you know, on module
right.
3, why it's important to know how to bring your book to life.
Let me say one more thing about module 1 and 2, because really, really what you're doing is you're saying, okay, we're looking for our kind of spiritual army. I don't like the word army because it sounds like force, but we're looking for our spiritual village that are participating in this shift. Raise your hand if you're one of us. Right? So that's module 1. Module 2 is saying, hey, I've got people that have raised my hand. You've got people that have raised your hand. Let's play in the sandbox together and get our people together. Mm. That's module 2, right? And then everything else that we're teaching you is just ways to take the people that have raised their hand and give them a call to action. Right? So module 3 is all about bringing your book to life. Why do you want to bring your book to life? Because you're now giving the people in your village a call to action, right? I'm saying, here are the tools about how to get over your fear, because as long as you're afraid, you're not going to be able to help us save the world, right? And you're teaching them about inner mean girl reform school. As long as your ego is talking to you in the form of your inner critic or your inner bully, or it's telling you all kinds of big fat lies, then you're not going to be able to stand up and do what needs to be done in order to heal our earth. Right, these are important things here.
Yeah.
So module 4, again, all that you learned about creating a kick-ass book launch is, once again, you need to get these books in the hands of the villagers, right? They've raised their hand. They've asked you for help. You have tools that are going to help support them so that they can support all of us. That's the underlying thing, right? It's not just about feeding your ego. It's about helping get your book into the hands of the very people that need it most so that they can be activated with you.
Yes, and having a book out in the world, carrying your message, even if people end up just picking up the book and reading the back cover and not even buying it, there's power in that, in this. Having a book out is just like nothing else I've experienced.
Right.
Because there is this way in which it reaches people that would never come onto my website, that would never do this, but it's like just knowing that it's out there in the world impacting people, and then all of a sudden you get an email from someone where the book changed their life on this profound level, and it's like you didn't even know that they were out there, but they're out there just waiting for your book. And that is what all of those tools is about.
Well, like, I'm working on the edits right now of the book that I just sold to Rodale called The Anatomy of a Calling, and it's basically comparing our spiritual journeys and our spiritual service to Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. And, it's filled with tools for people about, like, no matter where they are in the hero's journey, here are the tools that will help facilitate moving you to the next level of the hero's journey so that this can go faster, so you don't have to spin your wheels as long as Amy and I did in some ways, right? And so, putting your message out there in the forms of books can be incredibly powerful because it does have the opportunity to reach millions of people.
Mm.
So modules 3 and 4 are really going to help you with that. But module 5 is just another vehicle for that, right? You learned how to rock the mic. It was all about getting over stage fright and getting paid to do public speaking, selling from the stage, all of these sorts of things. But once again, that's just another way to deliver your spiritual service to the people in your village. And the people that are in that audience are the people in your village. They're waiting for their calls to action. And you can be part of that inspiration that helps them take inspired action from that place of delicious themselves. And when the more of us that start to do that, the more we have all those little puddles all over the world that are starting to coalesce. And all it takes is one flash flood to put all those puddles together. And that's part of what you're doing when you get up there on stage. You're saying, oh, look at how these puddles are coming together over here. Look at how they're coming together over here.
Keep going, honey.
Oh, sorry. So module 6.
I'm like just enjoying this.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is perfect.
Is all about how to build your online empire. And this is, the technology that we have now. I love public speaking. And it's great to be able to get up on stage in front of 5,000 people and have it live streamed to 20,000 more. But the beauty of, of the online technology now is there is nothing, most of my online programs now I'm teaching to 1,000 people. My free preview calls may have as many as 30,000 people. But there's nothing that would say there couldn't be 100,000 people or 1,000,000 people even, right? Oprah's teaching teleclasses now to just so many people. So the access, you think of the global community and all the people in your village that can raise their hand, not just showing up at a live event, which requires getting on a plane, using all that carbon, staying in a hotel, like being in a big hotel room. Like literally all people have to do is have access to their cell phone to be able to call in from all over the globe so that they can raise their hand in your village, in the same village that you're in, with your servant leadership, inspiring all of them to come and take the torch themselves and to amplify it, right? Because that's what we're doing right here, too. We're saying, here's what we've learned. Take what we've learned and use it to amplify your own message. And the people that you teach will do the same, right? They'll go on and they'll take what you've learned and they'll help perpetuate your message. And this is how we start igniting. We really start igniting, visionary ignition switch, right?
Mm-hmm.
We start igniting all of the energy in the universe because that's all. We're all just energy, right? We know that. We know the whole quantum physics behind that. We may look like solid beings, but we're all just energy. And it's about coalescing those puddles and amplifying that energy so that we really do make this shift where all of a sudden all of us are deciding that, taking care of nature, taking care of our planet, taking care of one another, like moving out of the competition and greed and selfishness and ego-based lifestyles that the masculine principle, or in sort of the profane masculine, is destroying our planet. And each of you is here to once again help us bring those indigenous wisdom traditions back into modern culture. It's not about giving up what we've learned. Thank God we have increased the life expectancy of humans by 30 years in the past century because of the masculine principle, right? This is great.
Mm.
Technology is great. We're able to leverage this technology. The internet is amazing, right? Modern medicine is amazing, but we have taken it too far. We have forgotten what the divine feminine brings to all of these things. And when we're able to bring that back and bring it into business, and that's part of what we're teaching you here in Visionary Ignition Switch, is a whole other way, a whole, divinely feminine spiritual way to run your business. It's very different than the masculine principle that most online business programs are teaching, so that we can come back into agreement and alignment with the earth and with one another so that we remember that we are here to take care of each other. We are all connected. We are all one with one another and with nature and with the earth herself. And it is our job as caretakers of nature. You know, we have this misguided notion that nature is here for us to pillage and plunder and take what we wish, and we are going to destroy our planet. But it's not too late, and we as spiritual visionaries, this is part of our job, is to rally together, to help people raise their hands, to give them the calls to action, to gather us together, to, you know, get our books out there in the world, to get up on stage, to build these online empires, create these teleclasses so we can reach people. You know, Module 7, we talked about going platinum with your VIP programs. This is because sometimes the people that are supposed to be in spiritual service that are leading this revolution need support, right? So they need to come in and get a little one-on-one support. Often it's the spiritual support of helping shift them from an ego-driven life to a soul-driven life. That's a huge thing. And all of you who are involved in coaching, therapy, medicine, you know, all of the various spiritual counselings that go on, anybody who's doing one-on-one work in that way, helping to shift the ego into the soul, is participating in that shift in consciousness and turning that person into a leader. Because I think of the seen world sometimes, like the physical realm, and then there's this thinner and thinner veil with the spirit realm on the other side. Mm. And it's like I see all these beings on the other side. And if one of us shifts from letting the ego take the wheel to letting the soul take the wheel, all of the beings on the other side of the veil are like, yay, there's a whole party going on. They're like the cheerleaders. They're doing herkies. And they're like, we got one, right? We got one. Now we can use this one. So platinum programs are great for that. You can bring people in on a really deep dive to go through a spiritual transformation under whatever, in whatever way, whether it's under any of the stones in the whole health care, and whether it's through creativity, like Shiloh Sophia McLeod does, or through health, if it's through relationships, if it's through life purpose, all of these are just vehicles. Through money, look at Barbara Stanny and her work, you know, through mental health, through physical health, through spirituality directly. All of these things are just portals that are helping people access that transformation in whatever way is most resonant for them, so that when they make that shift, they can become vessels for divine work in the world.
Such a beautiful context and a reminder of where we started in our mindset module around why bother, what this is all about,
right,
why it can be important for you to understand how to use these tools, whether it's doing a platinum program or launching your book or creating a teleclass or networking. It really is all about being in service to your soul's assignment, to your divine calling, and allowing yourself to continually offer up what it is that you're here to do, the difference that you're supposed to make, the meaning of your life, so that you can have that ecstasy of expressing your soul and being on purpose in a profound way. Mm-hmm. And through that, you are going to help so many people do the same. And it really is, it's just like touching and lighting up. As we light ourselves up and we allow our lights to grow brighter, mm-hmm. we're casting away the shadows. We're allowing those the lights in other people to rise with us, to turn on. It's like those dimmer switches turning on and people turning on that inner light over and over and over again.
Well, and I really hope you all feel the difference between what it feels like to let your ego be in charge of your business and what it feels like to let your soul be in charge of your business, because the ego will never, ever, ever get full.
Mm.
I mean, I know somebody, it is insatiable, it is the hungry ghost.
Yeah.
And as we said in the first mindset module, in this business, there is no there. There is no matter how many books you've sold, how many times you've hit the New York Times list, no matter how many millions you've reached, no matter how much fame you've achieved, there will always be a part of the ego that says, well, wait a minute, why did I get off the New York Times list now? Oh, wait a minute, now I've got to get a bigger book deal with my next book. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, wait a minute, I've only reached 1 million people. Now I want to reach 10 million people. Like, it is insatiable. And you will never be happy. You will never be fulfilled. You will never fully express your gifts if you're letting that part of you make your business decisions. But when you shift to the soul, then something magical happens. And it is so worth doing the spiritual work that's required to make that shift. And that's a lot of what I wrote about in The Fear Cure, because it is so fulfilling. It is, you feel so deeply used in service to the highest good. Like, you are really, all of your talents and gifts are, you know, the divine within you, that part that I call your inner pilot light, that Amy calls your inner wisdom, that is the divine spark in you. It's like God living through you and expressing fully in service. And running your business that way is a guarantee of success. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guarantee of success, because that's when something larger than you drives you into exactly what is needed and what's wanting to become, because your ego can't possibly know what's possible for you. Like, the soul is so much wiser. You can't even begin to envision what's possible when you get your ego out of the way and let your soul take over your business. And honestly, if anybody had told me back when I quit my job in 2007 that I would be doing what I'm doing now, I could not have visioned it. My ego could not have set, you know, could not have made a list of goals that included anything that I'm doing now. It was not even on my radar. So if you have a, you know, a list of desires and goals and you're focused on achieving just that, it's like the universe may be trying to give you the Ferrari and you're saying, but I want a Pinto, please.
Right.
Right? And then you don't get the Pinto and you're like all pissed off and trying desperately to go get a Pinto. It's like, get out of the way. And if the Ferrari is supposed to come, then there will be room for it to show up for you. So that's what I hope you all get as the takeaway, is that when you let that part of you take over, then you will be guided very clearly to exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And it may not be what your ego thinks it wants.
Mm.
And that's where the, you know, letting go of attachment to outcomes comes in. Like, letting go, like, maybe you think you want to write a book, and you're not supposed to write a book. Maybe you're supposed to get your message out there. Maybe you're supposed to create the technology that far supersedes books. And you're suddenly going to just be broadcasting telepathically to everybody and, like, waste, you know, save all those trees, right? I mean, we literally don't know what's possible right now. Things are changing so fast, and the miracles are coming so quickly that we can't even begin to envision what is unfolding in front of our very eyes. But if we let go of those attachments, sure, have your desires, have your dreams, you know, implement the things that we're putting into place here so that you can tune into that frequency of miracles, right? Like, attract your village so that you can use the miracle of social media to reach the people and have the technology for the miracles to work through. But be so open to what's possible. I mean, I just, as part of this sacred medicine journey, I just got back from watching a Qigong master manifest herbs out of the palm of her hand. I'm not kidding. If that's possible, you think God can't use you to manifest miracles in spiritual service to a dying planet? I mean, come on. Anything is possible. And you are being called into that level of service right here, right now. So we're going to be talking later in this module about self-sabotage and limiting beliefs and the things that can hold you back from that, because you are not allowed to do that. We are going to kick your ass. With love.
Yeah. Well, and I love what you're saying about the dream is sometimes bigger than you could have even imagined for yourself. And it does take a profound amount of trust and faith to leave that shore behind that you know and set sail on uncharted waters for yourself. And I feel like sometimes the inner wisdom, our inner pilot light, speaks to us through small little signals, whispering to us to go this direction and then that direction, and it doesn't quite make sense. And then all of a sudden you find yourself on that new land that you didn't even know, and you're like, land, oh, there it is. Oh, my gosh, I had no idea, right? And as you said during one of the modules, Lissa, of, you know, you thought that it was about launching this whole program originally, and then that ended up not, quote, unquote, failing. It kind of flopped.
Right.
It didn't work. And then it was like, thank God it didn't work, because that led over to the Whole Health Medicine Institute.
Exactly.
And having Martha Beck, you know, hold the first retreat at her ranch and so on and so forth. And it's like we just don't know sometimes. All that we can do is listen to the signs and the signals, trust that inner calling, that inner impulse, go in to meditation, prayer, whatever form works for you, so that you can hear the voice of your inner wisdom, hear that spark from your inner pilot light, and just take that next step.
Well, and I just want to offer to anybody who is listening, if you're not sure how to do that, like how do you get guidance around that? How do you learn to interpret those signs from the universe that are coming in, how to receive, interpret, and discern that information, and how to tell the voice of your inner pilot light from the voice of your ego, right? One of the free things that we have available is the bonus call, the free preview call that Rachel Naomi Remen and I did for our program Medicine for the Soul. Is called, you can get it at medicineforthesoulrx.com, and it's 10 ways that your soul guides you in daily life. It's just a free preview call. It does upsell into that other program, but without even doing the other program, that content that Rachel and I gave right there is super, super helpful for people that are trying to figure out how to receive spiritual guidance.
Love it. And I think the biggest thing, you know, because really the inner critic, the inner mean girl, the inner bully is really just your ego personified, right? There's this way, and, you know, in the work that I do with around Inner Mean Girl Reform School, the biggest piece of wisdom that we can give you is to pay attention to how it feels in your body. When your inner wisdom is speaking to you, when the divine is speaking to you, there's a way that your body feels that is very different than when your ego or your inner mean girl or your inner critic speaks to you. And just start noticing those nuances. Pay attention to the way that your body feels. Because even when our inner wisdom or, you know, as you say, Tosha's prayer of, you know, if this is what I'm supposed to do, great, and if not, stop me.
Stop me.
Right? It's like, or cave early, right? As
yes.
As like Beck likes to say. It's like, even when those moments happen when you're like, when like your inner wisdom's like, cave early, sweetheart, cave early. Nope, not
right.
This direction. Nope, blocking that one.
And you know what? I can just tell that, like, I get this gripping feeling in my solar plexus.
Mm.
Right? And that is part of my body compass saying no, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's, and I get that when I can tell that if I'm feeling that way, I'm a piece of my ego is getting hooked.
Yeah.
Right? So I have to come back to like, no, that's not the part that I want to let make my decisions. You know?
Right. Right. Yeah, so it can be really helpful to just visualize the details of your life. Like imagine a day in the life of a really successful business. And then check in with your inner pilot light. Check in with your inner wisdom. And really giving yourself permission to go for what you want and then just continue to listen to those signs and signals along the way so that you can really mindfully create the life of your dreams, knowing the truth of what you're calling in and knowing the big picture of it and allowing yourself to really expand into living your highest calling. And what you're really here to do.
And again, recognize that even if you visualize the details of your highly successful business, you may not even be able to vision what you're calling in. Or what
absolutely.
You're being called, right? Like,
yeah.
I could not have even visioned this. I think it's great. Like, definitely, you know, see yourself like you're watching a movie in your mind and all of that. It's great. But it's limiting even, right? Like, because it's, like I said, you might be, instead of writing a book, you're supposed to be telepathic, you know, communicating with millions of people without paper.
Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows? That's part of why so much of my prayer is just make me a vessel. Like, use me. Take me over. Use me however I'm meant to be used. That's my biggest vision. is, being of service, being of service, and being aligned with the perks. I'm happy to be aligned with the perks.
Yeah, well, and it is. It really is, you know, being able to be nimble between the spiritual world and that space of visioning and imagination and creativity and dreaming, and then the earthly plane, the physical realm, where it's like, then go and build the web page, right? It's a very bizarre place that we live in, to be these spiritual visionaries who are on a quest to do spiritual healing in one form or another, no matter what your work is, really, that's what it's about. And then it's so bizarre to then go and say, well, yeah, and Amy and Lissa now want me to create a freaking opt-in box. Like, ah, right? So we create, it's and it really, you have to become nimble, and you have to get that those are not in contradiction.
I was just saying this yesterday to my new CEO. I was laughing because I was like, okay, 3 days ago I was watching somebody grow herbs out of the palm of her hand, and now I'm at the bank signing papers for a business loan, right? Like,
yeah, and getting that it's and that's okay. It's like your spirit is here in human form for a reason. If not, you would just be in the spiritual realm. So embrace all of these things that we've taught you here in Visionary Ignition Switch, all of these business building tools, and that's why we've created this jumpstart checklist that we're going to go into here, because we want you to go, okay, now what is the step-by-step checklist for me to just get started on this now? And some of these things you may have already done, and if so, put a big check mark next to it and go on to the next thing. But we really wanted to give you a step-by-step guide for what to do next, because we've given you so much information and it can feel like, you know, analysis paralysis.
Right.
So we're inviting you to go through this jumpstart and to allow your spirit to guide you as we go through this jumpstart checklist. And to just play in the spiritual, bring the spiritual realm with you into the physical realm. That's okay.
That, you know, it's funny you say that, because I just got back from Peru. I've been researching this book, Sacred Medicine, and I was meeting with these shamans. And, you know, they have this prophecy that I've been talking about, the eagle and the condor. And so they were so excited I was there. They're like, the eagle person is here to help us spread the condor message. Mm-hmm. And they were so delighted and so excited. And, you know, they said, we've been here at 16,000 feet in the Andes for all these years, for 500 years, basically, to protect the wisdom traditions, that knowing that there was going to be a time where we would have to bring them out, we would have to, like, protect them and then bring them out so that we could save the planet. And, you know, they basically were telling me their three primary wisdoms that they were giving us. And the third of the three was basically forget number one and two. Like, basically, we're going to teach you the spiritual secrets of the universe and then forget you know them, because you're supposed to be human. Right? Like, you're supposed to forget that you're a spirit in a human body sometimes. Like, be human. Do the human things. Like, part of the whole thing, part of the whole game, is that we're supposed to have human emotions and human challenges and set up websites. And, like, we're supposed, like, on a spirit level, like, we're here to have the full realm of the human experience. Like, spirits can't do what bodies can do, right?
Right.
A spirit can't go skiing.
Right.
So that's part of it. It's like the shamans want us to be doing these human things so that we have the full experience of being human. So now we're going to tell you from that spiritual place that there are some human things that you can do to activate what it is that you're being called into.
So with this quick start, jump start guide or checklist, the first thing on here is to name your brand. Will it be your name, or do you have a company name? You can even hire a naming company if you're not sure what to name your brand. EatMyWords.com is one that you could potentially hire. And, you know, Lissa, I know that you really felt like this is the starting point, is around that branding, and I know that you not made the mistake, but you started out with owningpink.com as
right.
your brand, and then you've really transitioned out of that being your primary focus. Do you want to
speak to that
for a moment?
Yeah, I just paid $30,000 to a branding company called Elixir to try to clean up the mess of my brand. So I guess I feel pretty passionate about this one.
Mm-hmm.
That if you can decide on this first before you start doing everything else, you can save yourself a lot of cleanup. Because, for example, you're going to we'll talk in a minute about, how to set up your website. Like, are you going to name your website based on your brand? What about your Facebook page and your Twitter profile? Like, otherwise, if you can start spending a lot of money building things out and a lot of time and energy, and then, oops, I picked the wrong brand, and you've got to go back and rebrand it all. And it can be very confusing to your community and very expensive and time-consuming. So it's worth spending a little time and energy. Or, you know, some of the people in the Whole Health Medicine Institute have even hired Elixir, the branding company that I use in San Francisco. We had Jen Jurdy, who's the founder of Elixir. We had her come and speak to the doctors because we felt that strongly about making sure that they understood. And people have a hard time thinking of themselves as a brand. I had to get over a lot of mental limiting beliefs about that, and this is part of why I love Jen. She's like this angel. I mean, she is the most spiritual being, and she's so committed. Like, her spiritual service is to help people get clean on their brand so that they can be warriors for the highest good. And
beautiful.
I mean, it's really, that's the kind of person that she is. And it feels so good to do branding with them because there's not an ounce of manipulation or that sort of masculine principle, you know, corporate culture. It's really that when you get clean on your brand and you get clean on your visual identity and you get clean on your naming and all of that, that it's all about the experience you want people to feel when you're providing your spiritual service.
Yeah.
Right? And it really helped me to get a frame around that. Like, how do I want people to feel? It was sort of like the preview call that I did with Martha for Coming Home to Your Spirit that I was talking about that was quite a successful sales process because we decided we wanted people to feel peace, not mania, but peace.
Mm.
Right? So how do you want people to feel around your brand?
Yeah.
Right? Like some people, their brands make me feel manic, and that's
right.
fine. That's their goal. They get up on stage, they play loud music, they get everybody screaming and standing up, and I don't want my brand to feel that way. Right? So making some decisions about your brand and committing to that can feel really good.
And the next piece in this jumpstart checklist is to create a website or at least a web page so people can find you online. And again, the difference between a website and a web page is the website usually has multiple tabs. It's kind of a fully built out home for you, whereas a web page is a single page that's just about one thing. So at a minimum, we really want you to have some sort of presence online. You can do a web page that's a simple opt-in form for people to start receiving your newsletter. And we'd obviously recommend that you do it with a very enticing free gift, not just say sign up for my newsletter, but actually have a really great free gift. We talked about this in Module 1. And, you can go ask your friends for referrals of great webmasters and designers. You can also go to 99designs.com or elance.com or even fiverr.com, which is a site where, you know, you can pay people $5 to do little things for you. You can also use a site like unbounce.com or leadpages.com to do a single web page or squeeze page or sales page. I mean, really, unbounce.com, we've been using it inside our company the last little bit. And, I mean, it allows you to create some really beautiful opt-in pages and sales pages that are very high converting. It's all template-based. And it feels like you're essentially working on a Word document. It's that easy to use. Wow. You need no technical skills whatsoever. So if you feel like you just want to start out with a single page, you could check out those services and see if that works for you. But we want you to have an online presence in some way, shape, or form.
And if it's appropriate at all, use your picture. You're beautiful.
Yeah.
Use your picture. Let people see your eyes. It's no joke. The eyes are the windows to the soul. Let people see you. Don't be afraid to be seen. And my photographer, Monique File, if you're ever in San Diego or in Hawaii, she is so freaking amazing. If you've ever seen a photo of me, it's been taken by Monique, including my book cover for Mind Over Medicine. So, like, getting your picture taken can be so much fun. We for the last 2 years, we've brought Monique to the physician training retreat to photograph the docs so that they had a beautiful photo of themselves that they could put on their website and feel really delicious about.
Awesome.
So find a photographer that makes you feel really great so that you're happy to share your beauty online.
The next step is to set up your Facebook page and Twitter profile and get great banners up on your Facebook page and on your Twitter profile. You can, again, go to 99designs.com or elance.com. They can help you with banners and logos if you don't have a designer that you're working with. You definitely want to have some sort of banner that speaks to who you are and that really captures the essence of who you are.
And how you want people to feel, going back to branding.
Yeah.
Right? You want it to be congruent with the experience that you want people to have in your presence. You're also not going to want to do all of this alone. Get a virtual assistant who can help you out. And we've talked about sort of my mindset around that, around, well, I'm a doctor. I would never do what the medical assistant can do. I wouldn't set up my own pap smear, right?
Right.
Right? So, it's a risk to pay somebody when you're often not making money already. But trust your value. It's kind of hard to ask people to pay you a lot of money if you don't value yourself enough to do something that really is a $30 an hour job and not a $200 an hour job, right?
Yeah.
So get help, especially if you're not real tech savvy like me. I'm very not tech savvy, so I outsource all of these things. And you can go to elance.com or guru.com or fiverr.com for just one-off help if all you want is for somebody to help you, you know, do a specific project.
And then the next step is you're going to want to get a service set up to collect emails and upload all your contacts into this system. So when you're starting out, something like constantcontact.com or MailChimp.com to start out, both Lisa and I use Infusionsoft.com, which is also our shopping cart and is a very, very powerful system for small business. But you don't need something that powerful if you're just starting out. But you definitely want to use something like MailChimp or Constant Contact to begin with so that you start really keeping those emails, and those systems will allow you to create those opt-in forms so that people are actually signing up to a professional database. These systems will also allow you to create a really nice-looking newsletter so that when you email people, you can use graphics, you can put in banners, you can put in pictures. They're really simple to use for the most part. And again, it's always great to have an assistant do that for you, to get everything set up for you, get you set up in Constant Contact, get a little newsletter template set up for you. Definitely, you want to start collecting those email addresses. It's part of platform building and very, very important.
It's also part of the ethic of it, because if you're not using one of these services, then people don't have a way to unsubscribe.
Mm-hmm.
And if people send me an email that I didn't ask for and it doesn't have an unsubscribe button, I will mark them as spam.
Yep.
And then you're going to get in trouble.
Yep.
So you want to give people a way so that, like, no offense at all, but just let them unsubscribe, and then you won't get in trouble.
Yeah.
It's just kind.
Good point.
Right?
Yeah.
I get really annoyed when I get those emails that don't
have the
unsubscribe button. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm turning you in.
Yes. So then the next step is to get that free gift opt-in and put up – let me try this again. Create your free gift opt-in and put it up. Put up your opt-in box on your website or Squeeze page. So we want you to start collecting database. We want you to start collecting the names and email addresses of people who are interested in you and your amazing work. That's the next step. If you're not doing that, do that today. Do it.
Remember, the first thing you want to do is start letting people raise their hand and saying, I'm in your village.
Yes.
So that means getting on Facebook, getting on Twitter, setting up your website, giving people a way to give you their email. That's super important, because no matter what you do, you're going to need the village.
Yes. So the next step is to sign up for a shopping cart, because remember, we want you to start selling something. We don't want you to just collect people who are interested in your amazing free content. We also want you to have a way for them to actually pay for you, pay for working with you. And you can do it really easily using PayPal.com. Or if you want to do something more advanced, you can use the all-in-one program that Lisa and I use, Infusionsoft.com, and we have links out to Infusionsoft in our resources section there, where you can learn more about that system and sign up for one of their free webinars. But you need to have a way for people to pay you with a credit card, and PayPal makes it really super-duper easy to get started with it. So that's the next step. And then we want you to send out your first email to your list with some fantastic content. That's the next step. Get it out there. And if you already have your whole newsletter list set up, then go ahead and take something that you've learned from Visionary Ignition Switch and set and get some really great content out there.
And it may be that it's your first blog. You may write your first blog or create your first video blog and just send it to your people and be like, hey, here's my first thing. Let them give you feedback. It's really exciting to be able to give them your first amount of content. Or it may just be an email to all your friends saying, hey, I just created a new website. I promise I won't bug you with more emails, but if you're interested in what I'm doing and you want to get more information, then sign up for my newsletter, and I'm going to be sending out my blog.
Yeah. And then we want you to create your first offer or your next offer, if you've already been making offers, that you'll sell in the next 3 months. Decide, is it going to be an online course, a video course, a private coaching package, a platinum package, a teleclass? You name it. Remember, we went into great detail in some of the modules about those things, but we want you to create an offer and get it out there in the next 3 months, or get your next offer up and running in the next 3 months.
And who do you want to network with? Kind of start dreaming and scheming about who feels really aligned with your village, right? Who has the same village as you? Who's really in support of the same thing that you're in support of? And again, not from your ego, not from the, oh, I want to be able to brag that I know such and such, but who feels really, really aligned for you? And get on that person's newsletter list and like their Facebook page and start watching what they're doing. Look for opportunities to meet that person. Maybe take a workshop with them or go to one of their public speaking events and, you know, take one of their teleclasses.
Sign up for their platinum program.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And really, you know, start participating with that person so that you can get on their radar. And remember, if you're a client of theirs, you're more likely to get on their radar than if you're just following them on Facebook.
And then we want to invite you to start creating a wonderful mastermind group to support you in your vision. Again, that's how Lisa and I really got to know each other, was being in a mastermind group together. We got to witness each other really get our businesses to the next level, hugely powerful. We invite you to also post up on the Visionary Ignition Switch Facebook group and see if there's other like-minded people that want to do a mastermind with you. Put yourself out there and start dreaming about that and put out some invitations. People are hungry for mastermind groups out there, and especially if it's something where it's colleagues. People will really appreciate the invitation. It's an honor to get invited to a mastermind group. Even if it's not the right one for you, it's still a very honoring experience to
be
invited.
It does feel that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So those are just sort of our general get started. Some of you may already be way past that. You may already have your website and you're super busy on social media already, and you've got your opt-in, you've got your shopping cart, and you've sold your first programs already, and you're at a more advanced level. And if that's the case, then figure out how you might want to up-level. What's the next step for you? What did you learn here that you might put into practice? And some of you may have other kind of get-started things that are specific. It may not be for all of you, but we wanted to just kind of go through a few of those things that you may, little inspired actions that you may feel ready to take. So if you're planning to start a blog or a video log or a podcast, then create the content for your first post if you haven't done that already. Go, what are you going to write about? What are you going to vlog about? It's really exciting. I remember doing my first blog. It was called Getting Unblogged.
Love it. Good stuff. them.
I still remember writing it because I was like,
so
I don't
sweet.
Know what I'm doing here. I mean, basically the whole blog was like, I have no idea why I'm doing this. My agent told me I have to.
Of course, authentic and transparent from the start.
Yes.
Arlissa Rankin. True, true. True that. Oh, my goodness. And then if you want to write a book, maybe that's the next step for you. Start thinking about your book concept. Remember, go back to that hook page in your book proposal. What's that hook page? Start thinking about your book concept. Maybe do a little outline around your book. If that's what's next for you, if that's what lights you up, then go do that next.
And if you want to start public speaking, figure out what you want to talk about. Hone your message. We talked about, you know, writing the script for your potential TED Talk. And start practicing your speech. After you write your speech, invite a group of 10 friends over and start rehearsing, or go to Toastmasters and start just putting it out there that you want to do public speaking. Let people know. Start letting the miracles come to you. Post it on social media. Tell people.
And if you want to teach an online program, do a free call for list building. Consider who you might do it with if you're the collaborative type. Partner with someone. Invite someone to do that with you. It can be hugely beneficial to do it that way. And so if that's what's next for you, get that preview call. Start designing that preview call. And or the product launch formula if you feel like you want to do a video launch as well.
And what is that program? You know, start thinking about
yeah.
what is that program? What is it that you want to teach? What is it that your audience is asking for? And you can give your spiritual service in that way in order to activate the people in your village. How can you help heal them? How can you help activate them? How can you give them the tools that they can be in service themselves?
Yeah. So that's really our quick start guide. We wanted to really give you a direction to go in as we finish Visionary Ignition Switch here for you to know step by step, okay, what are the first few things that I need to do if I'm just starting out? And then those of you, like Lissa said, if you're already doing a lot of those things, then what's the next level for you? What's the thing that is you're really being guided to do next?
And once again, I want to just bring us back to what we talked about in the mindset module. Of if you notice, okay, you've gotten really crystallized on a desire here, and this has given you some enthusiasm and you're feeling that yearning for inspired action, once again, make it an offering to the divine. I'm going to keep bringing you back to that because I have to keep bringing myself back 10 times a day. Like, you don't have to do this by yourself. In fact, we don't recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Let it happen through you. Invite it to happen through you. Ask for divine support. Ask that if you need a virtual assistant, ask that a virtual assistant cross your path if that's what's aligned. Right? If you're thinking about doing a collaboration, ask that you be put in touch with the person that you're wanting to collaborate with. Ask for help around that. I mean, these kinds of miracles happen all the time to me now. But part of it's because I'm open to that. I literally can have a thought. I think I want to ask Deepak Chopra to teach at the Whole Health Medicine Institute. And then literally the next day I'm in a room where somebody's talking to me about Deepak Chopra and is like, I want to introduce the two of you. This is a true story.
Mm.
And then, you know, we got an introduction. I got invited to come and speak with him at an event. And then I was able to ask him to be on faculty. So, I mean, these kinds of things can happen when we get out of the way. Be open to the miracles. You don't have to do it all yourself, right?
Yeah.
Be open to the miracles.
Absolutely. And this is why we just wanted to, as we begin to wrap up here, talk about self-sabotage for a moment, to really point that out, because we know that, you know, you, like we said at the beginning of this call, you know the how. You have all of these tools now. We've taught you all of these tools. And it can be so easy to block ourselves from our own success, to block ourselves from going big with our soul's assignment and from really fulfilling our life's calling. It happens to all of us. We're constantly up-leveling, like Lissa told on herself on the last call, on the last module, about, like, I need to do some work with Barbara Stanley around some money stuff because I'm
totally
feeling my chest as we talk about this, right? We
right?
all have our places and spaces where that saboteur comes in, where our gremlins and inner critics, the inner mean girls, where our ego gets in there and tries to say, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. You can't possibly do that.
You know what? It can even be super sneaky. Like, I know one of my biggest challenges when I got started in this business is I had a story, and this was just a belief. So once again, I love Byron Katie's The Work. In her book, Loving What Is, describes it, but you can find it on her website, thework.com. I love using Byron Katie's work because now I'm aware that I have these beliefs, and I'm like, okay, I got to go do the work. And one of my beliefs was that if I became very successful in this business, and if I became a celebrity, if I made lots of money, then I was going to become a megalomaniac, and I was going to be this crazy, awful diva, and nobody was going to like me, and I was going to be all alone. I'd be rich and famous and all alone.
Mm.
It was super interesting to recognize that,
yeah.
Right? And so that was my big fear, was that ego was going to just go crazy. I call my ego Victoria Rochester, and I was thinking, this is just full of landmines for Victoria. And I just didn't want to live my life that way. So I, in some ways, I had, you know, lots of creative ways of self-sabotage because I didn't want that to happen. And it wasn't until I really realized, like, and I started meeting people like Martha Beck, who is so successful and a celebrity and making lots and lots of money and absolutely has almost no ego at all. And I was like,
absolutely,
oh, totally possible. That I can have all of that and be of spiritual service and not even be close to being at risk of being a megalomaniac.
Mm.
So I just tell that part of my story because we all have it. Every one of us in this business has our own form of self-sabotage. It can show up in the ways in which we make ourselves less magnificent, right? So sometimes I'll even notice, for example, if 20 great things happen, you know, back to back, boom, 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 and I start feeling so much light, I literally will go and be like, I need to go drink wine.
Mm-hmm.
like I need to shut down the light because it's just too scary. It's too, like, the possibility. You know, I love that Marianne Williamson quote about how our greatest fear is not
Our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our greatest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to read that, actually, because it's so powerful. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And that's from Return to Love. Beautiful, beautiful reminder that there is that light, but we do have those ways of dimming the light. And for each of us, they tend to be, you know, different. Mine is different than yours, Amy, and we've recognized those over the years. But they're there, and the more we can move beyond our limiting beliefs and our self-sabotaging behavior, the more we can really be available for spiritual service in a really pure, beautiful way.
I love it. I love it. And it's just that upper limit, as Gay Hendricks calls it in his book, The Big Leap, those upper limits that we have, or our friend Claire Zamet calls it the internal glass ceiling, where it's like, I'm not going to let myself rise to that next level of evolution, financial success, fame, abundance, whatever form that takes, beauty, health, because we know the prison cell that we put ourselves in. And even though, you know, these comfort zones, even though they're not all that comfortable, they're what we know. They're really familiar to us. And so as you start going out on your visionary path in an even bigger way, utilizing all of these tools that we've taught you here in Visionary Ignition Switch, you can expect that there's going to be part of you that is afraid of that success, that is afraid of your light, that is afraid of that. And that's okay. It's normal and natural for those fears to come up. The key is to not let that fear, not let your ego, not let your inner critic make the decisions for you. Let your inner wisdom, your inner pilot light, and the divine be the decision maker in your life.
Well, and I have to just warn people, because when you do that, when you let that part of you start making your decisions, it is so counterculture. It's so radical that it can be incredibly confusing to other people. So, for example, I recently turned down a very large book deal because it didn't feel aligned. Like all of my spiritual guidance was saying no, even though the money would have been nice. And I turned down a starring role in a primetime network television show because all of my spiritual guidance was saying no. And so some of the people that are responsible for my career decided it was time for an intervention. Lissa is having upper limit issues, right? So they were like, they wanted to bring in some celebrities to kind of coach me about it's okay to say yes to primetime television. It's okay to say yes to big money. And that wasn't it at all. I was saying yes to my soul, and my soul was saying no to those opportunities because they felt like selling out. And they felt like they would be fear-based. So I'm absolutely open to big money, and I'm absolutely open to the right kind of television, but those weren't it. And so the culture can start to think you're crazy if you start making soul-based decisions, because it can look crazy. And it requires a lot of courage. I mean, really a lot of courage. I can't tell you how many times I've had to get on the phone with Martha Beck to be like, I just said no to something, and people think I'm crazy, and I just need one person to tell me I'm not crazy. And she's like, sweetheart, you're not crazy. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your bravery. So I just want you to know that Amy and I are here for you to be the ones that, we are energetically holding space for you to make all those decisions that sound crazy that are absolutely not crazy. They are alignment. That's what alignment feels like. That's what discernment feels like. And it feels super yummy, even as you feel like you're standing on the high dive looking down into the crystalline pool in Hawaii, thinking how scared you are to jump. It does require that level of courage, but it is absolutely worth the dive.
Absolutely, and it's so great that, Lissa, that you've gotten so good at being able to discern what are the upper limits.
Right.
And then what are you being true to your soul? And really being able to look at and examine, because we've talked a lot in this course about doing what feels delicious. And then it's like, yeah, and then there's times that, like, I don't really want to write this sales letter, this invitation for this program. Doesn't necessarily feel delicious. But the ultimate vision of being of service to everyone that is going to take this course feels so delicious, I can hardly stand it. So I'm willing to do the sales letter that doesn't necessarily feel delicious in that act to serve the ultimate deliciousness of what is going to happen when I release this into the world.
Exactly.
And so it's like really being able to have that relationship with your spirit and with your soul and with your body to be able to look at and know, are you diving into the beautiful waters and just afraid because it's a little bit shaky up there? Like, is it like, oh my gosh, being on national television and having my own show, oh my gosh. Or is it like, diving into the pool of poo? Like, we do not want to do that. So feeling into that and having those people in your life, your version of Martha, that you can call and say, am I crazy? Is this an upper limit? Or
right.
Is this me being really true and saying, this is actually not aligned for me?
And that's part of why I want to create that Surrender Sanctuary continuity program, is so that lots of people can have access to others that will help hold them in that space. And for me, for example, because that's such a good question, with regard to television, for example, I decided 2 years ago, my then husband thought, well, why are you thinking about this now? And I was like, because I see television coming. And I want to be super clear on what I would say yes to and what I won't say yes to so that I won't get seduced off purpose. And because I know television can be a big seduction for people. And so I got really clear that, like, okay, if I was going to do television, like for my PBS bonus material, I'm about to go to Ojai, where a film crew is flying in, and I am interviewing Rachel Naomi Remen and Martha Beck and Byron Katie. And Christine Hassler, who's our mutual friend, flew out to Albany, and I interviewed her there, and that was my bonus material. And basically it was like a TV talk show, right? It was like an hour where I had these luminaries there, and all of them have a spiritual bent, and I was interviewing them. And I was like, okay, I would do that if I didn't have to move to L.A., and I was able to do it from San Francisco, and I didn't have to go to a studio every day, and I can do sort of multiple shows in one day so that I'm not dependent on having to commute into the city all the time. And I had complete creative control so that, you know, the producers are not using fear-based marketing and with these scary headlines to get people to tune in so that we can advertise Cocoa Puffs.
Right.
Right? Like, that's how specific it would have to be. I would have to feel really spiritually aligned with my producers and any co-stars that might be there so that it felt really, really clean. And if that was possible, then I'd be open to television. I'm not sure that's possible with television. So my feel is, like, television's probably not for me. But if I could have something like that, then I might be open to that, and that actually would feel really fun. Like, I would love to have you be one of my, you know, on my television show, Amy, and I could interview
right.
you about your new book, and, you know, with complete creative control to be as out there spiritual as we wanted to be on television. Wow, that would be fun.
Well, and, you know, it's so amazing, right, to see something like Oprah do her own network on OWN and do a program called Super Soul Sunday and have hours upon hours upon hours of spiritual teachers having the opportunity to step onto her platform.
I know, it's great. Like,
everyone thought that was going to fail, and it did fail for a little bit, and then she totally made it work. And not that it's the end-all, be-all by any means, but it's like, wow, so many things. Like, there is a shift in consciousness happening. We are on the forefront of that. And I fully believe that you can create that. And you created that with PBS.
Right.
So it's like,
They gave me total creative control, right?
Yeah,
they basically
exactly.
were like, go wherever you want to go. It was a miracle. It was like, oh, my God, I've got a national platform for putting spiritual material on the internet, on television, in a way that because it's not commercial at all, they don't have any of those restrictions. It felt really clean.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah,
yeah, I know. I was so excited with Super Soul Sunday. It's like she's having people like you know, Adi Ashanti is one of my spiritual teachers.
Yeah.
And John of God. I mean, it's just
yeah.
great.
Yeah. So it really is about being in impeccable alignment with yourself and just noticing those patterns of self-sabotage that can come up, whether you procrastinate or you numb out or you go into this perfectionist mode so nothing ever gets launched, or you feel like you're getting ready to get 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 ready, which I know a lot of visionary entrepreneurs suffer from. Like, once I get that next certification, or, okay, once my photos are perfect, or once the – like, oh, no, you don't have to get ready to get ready to get ready. You're ready. Begin. Mm. You have permission. Take the next step. Put yourself out there. The world needs you.
Hmm.
Anything else we want to say, Lissa, before we wrap up here, darling?
No, I'm just sitting in that. I'm like,
yeah. Yeah.
Take that in for a minute.
Hmm.
And just feel your readiness.
Hmm.
And I think that's a big part of it. I want to say a little bit about readiness.
Hmm.
Because I think one of the mistakes people make all the time is they commit to taking action when they're not ready.
Mm.
So think of your New Year's resolutions, right? Think of all the things that you've promised yourself you were going to do this year that you didn't do, or that you've been making the same resolution for the past 5 years. And I think it's, you know, people make these promises to themselves, but they're not ready. On some level, they're still choosing, you know, to overeat or to keep smoking or to not go to the gym or to not launch their business. And that's okay. It's okay. At some point, you know, the pain of staying put exceeds your fear of the unknown, and you're willing to take that risk. And the problem when you start making promises to yourself that you don't keep is that you just create more and more evidence that you're not trustworthy. and you start beating yourself up more, and it just feeds your inner mean girl, your inner bully. And so one of the things I would really encourage people to do is just wait until you're ready. And you will get ready, because the pain of not spreading your gifts and letting your spiritual service be expressed will become greater than your fear or your resistance or your self-sabotage. That at some point that will drive you. And so it's not about, like, you know, I'm not saying sit back and wait until you have that epiphany. Like, sure, go ahead and get on Facebook and Twitter. Do small things. It's like, take small actions. But don't make promises to yourself that you don't plan to keep. It really just further sabotages the process. Mm. And wait until you're ready. Figure out what you are ready for and what feels delicious. And commit to yourself. And this time, stick with it. Like, give yourself a deadline. And decide that this time you're going to do it. And ask for accountability. You know, ask somebody that you trust to check in with you and ask whether it's happening, or maybe make a promise that every Sunday you're going to write to your best friend, you're going to give her your updates, you're going to tell her at the beginning of the week what you want to, what your intentions are, and tell her at the end of the week what actually happened. And then if it didn't happen, tell her why. Be honest. Like, what self-sabotage got in the way this week? And start noticing the ways in which your self-sabotage comes up. I noticed this with my meditation practice, because I'm so clear about the benefits of my meditation practice, and I'm not consistent with it. And I look at it. I, like, keep notes to myself, and I have an accountability partner on this, and I'm working with a spiritual counselor. I do these four-hour sessions with him. And every week he's like, okay, you didn't record your dreams like you promised. Okay, how was your you know, 90-minute practice, like, and I keep getting more and more information about how my inner saboteur shows up.
Mm.
And it's often through my sabotage often shows up in overproductivity, right? Like, oh, well, I'm so busy, I'm doing so many important things that I don't have time for that. It's like, that is bullshit.
Mm.
Right? So just notice, be not in judgment of yourself, don't be critical of yourself. Just notice, like, wow, that's the edge of my soul growth right there. And let it teach you. Be open to teaching so that you don't have to get stuck and you don't have to keep recreating. So wait until you're ready, and give yourself a deadline, ask for accountability, and then demonstrate to yourself and to God that it's time and that you're here. And pray that you be used as a vessel in service to one of God's holy ideas. Look for the signs. Be brave enough to follow the signs. If you're struggling, read The Fear Cure and Inner Mean Girl Reform School. You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Get the tools, like, trust your intuition to support you in whatever way you need support, so that you can get rid of those pieces of sabotage that keep you from your service, because you are needed now. It's for real. Things are dire, and I don't say that to scare people. I say it to motivate you.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's an exciting time to be alive. How lucky we are to be alive at this time, connecting in this space, taking part in this transformation, like opening people to love and joy and happiness and the miracle of living. I mean, we are so lucky. We are so lucky. I imagine there are spirits on the other side of the veil that are like, oh, man, I wish I could be human right now. Right? Because this is one of the most exciting times in history, and you are a part of it. We're going to look back 10 years from now, and we are not going to recognize ourselves. That's how quickly things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to be part of it. Yay! Your spirit signed up to be human right here, right now, and it's a very, very enlightened group of spirits that have decided to incarnate together to be of spiritual service in this way. And some people in that realm say that there are many beings on the planet and many spirits on the planet that were done incarnating. They basically had done their human service. They'd been to Earth school enough, and they were very, very old souls. And they decided to incarnate on the Earth right now so that those of us at around this age, in sort of the height of our career potential, were being called into this service as an offering to the Earth, as an offering to humanity, to the species. So some say that those have, you know, those beings have kind of taken one for the team by being human right now. And Martha calls us the super soul. We're all part of one soul, and she says that every individual that's part of the super soul has to activate for the whole thing to light up. Like, basically, everybody's got to wake up all together in order to do what it is that we're here to do. And we don't have to do it alone, because every other being that's part of the super soul is committed to the enlightenment of every other super soul being. So we're all here together. We're all taking care of one another. We're all doing whatever it takes in order to activate, so that we can do what needs to be done. And it's going to be fun. It is fun. Oh, my God, I love my job. Don't you love your job, Amy?
I love it.
Right? This is so fun. Yeah.
I love it. So keep celebrating. Keep breathing. Keep listening to your inner wisdom and inner pilot light. And we can't wait to witness you bringing your light in an even brighter way to the planet. And we're just honored to have been here with you through these 8, really 9 modules to share with you everything that we possibly could about different business tools that we've used to really help expand and raise the vibration of the planet, really.
So thank you for your courage.
Yeah.
Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for doing what it takes to let the soul take the lead in your life. It's not easy. We get that. And we are holding you in our hearts and trusting that this journey is taking us all to a more conscious place. And the ripples that are coming out of every single one of you that are participating in this program right now, the ripples are unmeasurable, but I can feel it already. So thank you, everybody.
And we'll see you on the other side
of the journey.
Yes. Sending you away with so much love.
We love you.
Bye-bye, everybody.